one of the absolute best sales experiences I've ever had was at CarMax.
And, really?
Oh, my goodness. Gabe was our salesperson. And, you know, we'd been to other, like, we'd been car shopping the whole day. I didn't want to be car shopping. It was Labor Day weekend. We had to get a new car because someone hit our other one and totaled it.
Oh.
And, but Gabe came up and, you know, at this point, you're just used to that whole experience where everyone swarms on you. And it's like, oh, God. He came up and he shook our hand. He walked out in the parking lot, shook our hands. And he's like, hey, I'm guessing that this is not how you wanted to spend your Labor Day weekend. And right away, I'm like, you are so right. And he's like, he goes, my job is to try to help this as painless and easy for you as possible. And he just opened up the conversation, you know. And it wasn't like, oh, do you want two doors or four doors or horse part? It was none of that. It was like, tell me how you use your car.
The business of sales is sometimes harder than actually making the sale in the first place. See, you're not only a professional salesperson, you're a business owner. But the focus always seems to be on sales. Well, we're here to help you. I've been in the sales world and training sales professionals for over four decades. My name's Morris Sims. I've seen some great salespeople fail because they didn't run their business very well. Well, we're going to share success concepts and interview some great entrepreneurs who are going to help you in your business. Welcome to the Business of Sales. Today on the Business of Sales, Bobby Kaler has dropped by to say hello and to chat with us. And we're, I got to tell you, I'm excited about this. Bobby's in the midst of moving to Arkansas. Isn't that great? And she's decided to take just a few moments to chat with us. And I'm looking forward to it. Bobby is a leader. She's a speaker. She's an author and a podcast host. And she talks about sales. So let's get Bobby involved in our conversation. Bobby, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Morris, thanks for the invitation, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Oh, me too. Me too. Tell us a little bit about how you got into this business and what you do for folks.
Yeah, well, to be really honest about it, I kind of backed into it. It was back in, you know, I started my own business in 2000, and, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to be a coach and a trainer and all that kind of stuff, and because that's what I love, and I learned along the way. Yeah. And if you want to do that, you have to learn how to make sales.
So I guess,
you know, surprise, surprise. And then in 2008, I joined a firm. It's a sales and leadership development firm. And I was with them for 14 years. And we were on Selling Power Magazine's list of top 20 sales firms pretty much for the last 10 years, I think. I think it is 10 years now. So I had a lot of experience. I've coached more than 3,000 sales managers. And somewhere along the line, Morris, I really started to identify with the resiliency, the grit, the dedication it takes to be a sales manager, because I frankly think it's one of the hardest jobs in the world. And so what I made a shift to in the last year is I started to see this problem, and I think it's gotten worse since COVID, but I started to see this problem and I really wanted to help solve it. And the problem that I'm seeing is that I'm hearing from sales managers like, I love the success, I'm competitive, I love the achievement, I just wish it wasn't taking such a toll on the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And to me, that's all about how do we build, you know, how do we build our resiliency in such a way where we can respond to those challenges and opportunities? Because I think a lot of people think resiliency is you have it or you don't have it, and that's not true. And the other thing that people often think is resiliency is just about being able to take the punches, you know.
Yeah.
It's like that's really more grit. And resiliency, you do have to, what's the famous quote, you know, I think it might have been by Mike Tyson, you have to get up one more time than you were knocked down. That is certainly part of it, but you also have to know, how do I fuel myself? How do I recharge my batteries? Because otherwise, you know, we're like a fighter in the 15th round, and we're staggering around. So that's a little bit about me and what I'm doing and how I got there.
Wow, that's amazing, absolutely incredible. Well, you know, Bobby, it's you learned, I guess, the hard way, or not necessarily the hard way. You learned that everybody's in sales. Everybody sells something, right?
That's right. That's right. I love them. Did you ever read Dan Pink's book, To Sell as Human?
Oh, yeah. I love Dan. Oh, wow. Yeah.
loved his, and but I loved what he said. Everyone's in sales. If you're married, you're in sales. If you have a teenage kid, you are in sales. And I just think it's a great way to look at it because everybody is in sales. It's about persuasion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been out there selling. I've been an executive in a very large corporation in New York City, and I sold as much when up there in New York as I ever did when I was out there pounding the pavement. So, yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just incredible.
That's fun.
And we could all use help in learning how to do it properly because it's not about the cute little sayings. It's not about, you know, pushing or pulling people into doing something they don't want to do. It's about helping people get what they want, don't you think?
Completely about helping people get what they want and recognizing how that's changed over the years. Oh. You know, it's one of the things that we always talked about in the programs is too many times we think sales is about what we say. You know, like if I just come up with that magic phrase or whatever it is, you know, everything's going to, you know, fall into place. And what it's really about is receptivity. Increasing the prospect's receptivity so they engage in a conversation and they lean in to what we have to say. And that's really about being a person of influence, and anyone can learn that.
What do you do to teach people to be that person of influence?
It kind of starts with, it starts with that, with the notion of receptivity, that because so many times we're taught, you know, work on your pitch, work on, you know, if you just say this magic phrase, you're going to close. And maybe, but so it starts with that notion that it's more important to have receptivity where the person is willing to listen to you.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, it's kind of like, I don't know how much you're into gardening or farming or anything, but it's kind of like the soil and the seed, right? Mm-hmm. You can buy the best seeds in the world, but if you plant those in soil that's not fertile, nothing's going to happen. So we talk about receptivity that way. But then it comes down to really two things, and there's two P's, and it's priority and pressure. So who is the priority in the conversation? Mm-hmm. Because so many times, you've probably experienced this as a customer, so many times when we're the customer, it's the salesperson who feels like they're the priority. And it should be, you know what I mean? And it should be the customer.
Totally.
It totally should be, right? And when we feel as the customer, when we feel like that salesperson is making us the priority, we're more apt to trust them because we trust their agenda.
Yeah.
And then the second P is all about pressure. You know, does it feel like they're trying to force us? You know, like, because if we feel that way, we're going to resist.
Yes.
And the classic on that, the pressure is, this is a super simple example, but if someone says, here's what you have to do, what's your automatic response?
Ooh, yeah, like, there's an automatic defensive sort of reaction there, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we dig in our heels. And because we're in a sales conversation, there's tension in that conversation already because people suspect that we're in it for ourselves. So what we want to do is make sure that we're demonstrating that we're removing that pressure. We're not trying to force them into anything. And like a simple way to do that is say, hey, I'm here to help you make the best decision. And of course, that decision is totally up to you. And when we say that and we mean it, it comes through.
And so important. You mean it. You know, there's sincerity.
That's right.
There's authenticity. There's real practical world there and not just some line that I've made up somewhere along the way, you know?
That's right. Because I don't know how you feel about it, but I think people can sense that a mile away.
Oh, absolutely. Especially nowadays. I mean, when I started back in the 80s, in the early 80s, maybe it worked. I don't know. I don't think it even worked back then. In fact, I don't think it worked ever. It was what people did back in the earlier days of sales. But I tell you what, if you're sincere and you make it all about them and you build a business relationship, you got something going on, seems to me.
That's right. That's right. Relationships are so important. I mean, there might be some industries where it's very, very transactional, but the vast majority of the clients I ever worked with, it was very much relationship based.
And, you know, people say, well, Morris, when I walk into Best Buy, I'm not there to build a relationship with the little guy that's you know, wearing the Best Buy t-shirt. No, but think about it. When you do go in there and you do find somebody that's going to help you and you build a little bit of a relationship, aren't you more willing to buy from them than to go somewhere else? I am.
That's right. That's right.
We buy from people we like. Bobby, I mean, that's right. The bottom line. I do business with people I like.
Yep. And to use your example, if you go into Best Buy and there's that, like that, you feel disconnected from the person who's trying to help you.
Yeah.
We typically make excuses to get out of there pretty quickly. I mean, I don't need to invite them over for Thanksgiving, but I at least
right.
need to want to have a conversation with the person. Otherwise, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, no, it absolutely isn't. And it just, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing when you get into that situation that there's something instinctive about it. You learn and you know what's going on and whether it's going to work or not.
Yep. You know, it's so funny. One of the absolute best sales experiences I've ever had was at CarMax.
And, really?
Oh, my goodness. Gabe was our salesperson. And, you know, we'd been to other, like, we'd been car shopping the whole day. I didn't want to be car shopping. It was Labor Day weekend. We had to get a new car because someone hit our other one and totaled it.
Oh.
And, but Gabe came up and, you know, at this point, you're just used to that whole experience where everyone swarms on you. And it's like, oh God, he came up and he shook our hand. He walked out in the parking lot, shook our hands. And he's like, hey, I'm guessing that this is not how you wanted to spend your Labor Day weekend. And right away, I'm like, you are so right. And he's like, he goes, my job is to try to help this as painless and easy for you as possible. And he just opened up the conversation, you know. And it wasn't like, oh, do you want two doors or four doors or horse part? It was none of that. It was like, tell me how you use your car.
Hey, pardon the interruption. I've got something on my mind to share with you, if that's okay. If just give me just a second. How many times have we heard the saying, you know, it ain't over till it's over? Well, contrary to popular media and all that you hear and see in the media, the war in Ukraine is not over for the millions of people who are in dire need of food and medicine and a place to sleep. Even if the war part should end today, there's still going to be millions of refugees who need food, medicine, and temporary housing. Well, I choose to help through an organization led by my friend, Dr. Randy Marshall. I know Randy directs where the money goes. If you'd like to help too, please go to www.tccp.pro and scroll down and make a donation. Every penny is appreciated and every donor is on our prayer list. Please join me with a contribution to TCCP because, you know, there are real people there who are hungry and they need our help. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Now, let's get back to the show.
This was in Colorado, you know, and we lived at 8,000 feet and we were always going up to the high country to go skiing or biking, and we had a big dog, and it was just a fabulous, fabulous experience. And the place where you'd probably least expect it, but he should be cloned because he was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just talk about lowering the prospect's defenses. He took away everything. He took away all of, you probably felt a lot more comfortable about the whole day once he started talking.
Absolutely. And he nailed it because I wanted to be biking. I didn't want to be car shopping. I wanted to be out biking, for crying out loud. But it was such a great way to connect with us. And I don't know if he said that to everybody that he met, or if there's something about us that he sensed. I don't know. But it was beautiful.
Oh, isn't that incredible? That is a wonderful, wonderful story. I know we had a guy, did a podcast about him recently. His name was Angelo. I bought 12 cars from this guy, I think it was 12 or 13.
Wow.
And we even came back to Jersey from New York to buy a car from Angelo. So, yeah, I mean, when you connect and you believe in somebody and they are sincere and honest and transparent, all of a sudden you want to do business with them.
Yeah.
That's where it all really comes to.
Mm-hmm. It does get to that point. It's just that simple.
Well, Bobby, tell us a little more about how you coach salespeople and what do you do to help them get better at what they do all day long?
Well, in the past, what I did primarily was I'd work with sales managers, and I would help them learn how to coach their teams. Because think about it this way. If you're a sales manager, you're a sales manager because typically you're really good at sales. And then you're thrust into this new position, and they call it a promotion, but it's really a brand new job.
Yeah,
because
it is.
You never, you didn't have to manage or coach anybody before. And so many sales managers, they're like, I feel like I'm beating my head against a brick wall. Because, like, they know how to sell. They know how to sell what worked for them. What they don't know all the time is, how do I actually coach someone so that they're, number one, that they're receptive to the feedback and to the advice, but how do I actually help them improve performance?
Yeah.
And there were so many things, like, you know, one thing that always stood out to me, there's a classic mistake that almost every sales manager I ever worked with did at the beginning. And it's this, and this might even sound familiar, but like, let's say that you're trying to coach someone, and I don't know, let's say that you're trying to help them ask better discovery questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you all come up with the questions that they're going to ask, you know, or they're going to try it out, and they do it one time, and everybody's so elated, they're thrilled, they're whatever. And then we immediately jump to the next gap that we want to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And we just made a key mistake, because that habit's not formed yet. So instead of jumping to the next thing, we should wait until that person, that salesperson, is demonstrating proficiency at least 80% of the time. But the pivotal mistake I saw sales managers make is, if they did it once or twice, or maybe 10% of the time, they're like, okay, let's go on to the next thing. The second we do that, what we did is we just set that person up to backslide.
Yeah.
And I can't even tell you how many times sales managers would say to me, like, it drives me crazy, because, you know, it feels like we're having the same conversation every few weeks or every couple of months. And I said, you are, and there's a reason for that. And there's a way to avoid that, but you have to be patient with the learning process and how habits are formed.
Yeah. I mean, that's a basic in adult learning. I forget whose taxonomy of learning it is, but basically this guy said, look, we're going to teach you something, and we're going to test you or assess your ability and the skill. And when you get it, we'll move on to the next thing. But until we get it, you know, we're going to stay right here.
That's right.
And that's,
we have to stay with this one thing.
And that's the way this guy proposed it. And he also basically said, I don't care whether you come to class or not. If you can pass the exam, then you can move on to the next thing. So similarly here, if you can demonstrate your ability to go through the discovery process and find out what the client wants and be able to move from there, then we're not going to sit here and make you practice a bunch of questions. You got it.
No.
Next.
That's right.
And you move on. And that keeps you from creating a bunch of training classes that people don't want to sit through.
Because they've got salespeople are busy, you know, and they don't make sales when they're in the sales class itself. I mean, yeah, it might help them in the future, but it's opportunity cost when they're sitting in a sales training program.
Oh, totally. If they're not out there talking to real life people and getting, you know, eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe, and what we used to say, belly to belly, but I'm told that's not politically correct anymore. If you're not out there face to face with somebody, you may not be able to pay the mortgage this month. So, hey, yeah, you're in my class. You're giving me a gift of being in my training.
That's right. That's right. So you got to make it worth your time.
Absolutely.
And, you know, on that too, one of the things that I've kind of learned over the years too is it's not just skill. It's also our mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can teach someone, two different people, the exact same set of skills. Some people will try it, they'll fail, but they'll keep trying it, and pretty soon they master it. Someone else, they have these internal blocks. You know, neuroscientists call them saboteurs, and the inner saboteurs. And it's fascinating, because as I've done research, what they've shown is that people, this whole area of research, it's called positive intelligence, PQ for short. And as they've done the research, they have found that people who score higher in PQ, positive intelligence, they outperform their peers in sales by 40%. And most sales training programs aren't dealing with that aspect of it, but, you know, but it's how do we manage, how do we bounce back from the rejections? Because sales, you're going to face rejections. There's going to be obstacles. Things are going to change. Quotas are going to change. Territories are going to change. Your manager is going to change.
Yeah.
All these things can change. And so how are we being resilient with that and bouncing back? And our ability to do that directly affects how successful we can be in sales.
And we're back to worry about things we got control over and not about the other junk that's going on in life.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. That's why Stephen Covey was so brilliant with, what was it, the circle of influence and
yes.
the circle of concern. Oh,
yes.
My goodness. But we create so much stress for ourselves because we're always thinking about the stuff that we have no control over.
Right.
And it's like, man, we can waste a lot of time on that.
I have a friend.
Hours.
I have a friend that has taken that whole concept and used it to define goals and desires. A desire is
nice.
Something that you don't control. You want it, but you don't have total control over it, like making a sale. I want to make the sale. I'm going to do everything I can to make the sale, but the prospect's going to decide whether they buy or not.
So that's right.
So that's a desire. I can create goals that are totally and completely under my control, that I can plan and schedule, that I can work toward, that are going to get me closer to that desire. But the actual desire itself is not planned. It's not scheduled. It happens when it happens. And, you know, a simple example, I can control how many people I talk to every week, and that's going to get me closer and closer to that person who's going to choose to buy.
That's right.
So I'm going to worry about my activity and the goals that I have control over, and I'm going to pray about my desires.
Yep.
So anyway, long story short, but I think you're absolutely right, and it does come back to, what do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
What do you believe about
right.
who you are and what you're doing all day long?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. There's such a difference when you work with an organization, and you can tell that people are really committed to the mission of it, the purpose of it. They believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, and it did not happen very often to me, but once in a while, I would show up at a company and you could just tell the people didn't believe in what they're doing. And I thought, that's the hardest thing in the world right there. Because if you're not buying it, no one else is going to buy it either. You know what I mean?
Not at all.
Oh,
it's funny.
Man,
yeah,
it was painful.
I think everybody out there, if you've listened to me talk at all ever in my life, you know that I've been a long time with the life insurance world. And people used to say, well, what do I do if somebody says I don't believe in life insurance? My silly, smart, you know what answer always was, you know, you don't have to believe in life insurance to own it, but you sure as heck have to believe in it if you're going to sell it.
Yes.
And that is so very, very true. If you're out there trying to sell something and you don't believe it's going to help the prospect, you don't believe it's the right thing for them, chances are they're going to read all of that in what you do and what you say, and they're not going to buy.
Right. And if you're a little bit more expensive, you're not going to go that extra mile and really, you know, take a stand for the value that you provide.
Yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, I wouldn't buy it either.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know,
yeah.
it's like, oh, I can understand. You don't really need a water softener.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just
it's
amazing.
It's completely true, though.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Bobby, there is so much that I want to learn from you, and there is so much for us to continue talking about. If folks out there and me, we want to learn more about positive intelligence and mental fitness, and where do we find you? Where do we find out more information? What should we do?
All right. Well, easiest way to find me is my website. It's just bobbykaler.com. And now, Morris, do you want me to spell that for you, or are you going to put it in the show notes?
Oh, go on and spell it.
Okay. So it's bobbikaler.com. And there's no E on my first name. So it's just bobbikaler. And if someone is really interested in the assessment, if you go to bobbikaler.com/saboteurs, there is a free assessment you can take. And and just as a gift for your listeners, I'd be happy also to include a 1 hour complimentary coaching session where we could kind of go over the report, how they broke down, how they might be affecting you, and then to kind of brainstorm what are some strategies that you can use to break free of this, you know, and to get better results and better performance in your business and life.
Oh, that sounds so great. BobbyKaler.com/saboteurs, and you get a free assessment out of the deal and a free consultation with Bobby. That Bobby, yep. without an E, and or a Y for that matter. And
that's right.
What a great gift. Bobby, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to do it.
And I'm really, really excited about having you on the show. Thanks for taking your time during the midst of a major family move to chat with us today.
I was so looking forward to it. I didn't want to have to postpone it. So I'm glad it worked out.
Me too. Well, best wishes with your move. Best wishes with your whole mental fitness operation. And maybe sometime in the future you could come back and we'll continue our conversation.
That'd be perfect. I'd love it.
Me too. Bobby, thank you so much. And for everybody else out there, you guys go out and make it a great week. You can do it. We got all the backing in the world right here. We believe in you. We know you can make it happen. Good luck. Have a great week. And until next time on the Business of Sales and Business Radio, I'm Morris Sims.